Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 212 of the Tool Shed with Click and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, what's going on, bud?
Oh, me. Not much. Just another good day to talk baseball. Had a couple days off with Memorial Day, so we're a little late on the schedule, but it's okay. Good to be back on the mic for sure. A lot of good things happening around the league. A lot of promotions, a lot of stuff happening with the minors and the majors. So we're going to talk about it all and break it down.
Yeah, and it's that fun time of year where it's almost like opening day 2.0 in the minor leagues with, you know, the rookie levels picking up in like a week and a half or so, I think it is, like June what, 9th, 10th, 11th, something like that. I forget what the exact day is where all those leagues start, but we're getting close to it. We're under 2 weeks from that, so we get another bunch of, you know, bunch more box scores to comb through, and, you know, we always get the, you know, the this year's breakouts and the names that kind of pop out of nowhere as we do every year, so... Yeah, June's always a really fun month, and every month is a fun month, but especially June, and we have a lot of fun names to talk about today. Like Chris mentioned, there's a lot of promotions, both up to the majors and like in minor league levels, and a lot of fun names we'll talk about today, the guys we could buy low on in dynasty leagues right now. So we have a nice little mix of stuff on today's show. But before we get into the show, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter, Chris at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. Shows at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. And make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, Chris's Substack and my Patreon, from a work from each of us. All of our rankings are on there, Prospect, Dynasty, you know, daily write-ups, a lot of other fun stuff as well. So make sure to check out both of those. And let's get right into it, Chris. We'll start with some of those promotions. Why not start right with your Atlanta Braves, who just called up AJ Smith-Shawver a couple of hours ago as we're recording this Tuesday. I think it's Tuesday, right? I'm so thrown off right now. Tuesday night. Kind of surprised. Were you? I know he was, you know, I think everyone knew he was close, and obviously he'd been rising very quickly this year. But as I tweeted, he was in high A just 32 days ago. He started, I mean, his last high, he started on April 28th. Now he's in the majors as a 20-year-old. Are you surprised that they called him up this quickly, Chris?
Yeah, I certainly didn't expect this. And honestly, the bump to AAA was a bit surprising, but less surprising than this because he was obviously better than high A level. He went to double A. They didn't want him dealing with the Southern League ball, the tacky ball. So they were like, just going to send him to AAA. He had two starts there. Luckily, caught the one last Thursday. And I won't say it was fishy that Alex Anthopoulos was there and Braves AGM Ben Sestanovich was also there with him. I won't say it was fishy. They were there watching his start, but also it's like, okay, the Braves were at home that night, a big game against Philly. Like, I was surprised to see both of them in Gwinnett. And I did talk briefly to Alex and between innings. I didn't want to bother him, but he was with his son. So I said to catch him between innings and I asked him, when I was trying to get the scoop on the Soroka call up, and I knew that was coming too. And you know, if you know and follow the Braves, they hold everything very close to their chest. And that's kind of the vibe I got there. It was like, well, we got five guys right now, so we don't really need him, but when we need him, we'll evaluate it. But I asked him about AJ obviously coming so quickly through the system, and he told me that he felt like that AJ was already on the level of all the AAA pitchers that were there, including Schuster, Dodd, Soroka, you name it. So he wanted to see how they stacked up, obviously side by side, pitching on the same team. I can't say I expected him to be promoted this time around. And obviously, he's going to pitch out the bullpen to start at least, but it makes sense. Throwing a 20-year-old, unless you're Yuri Perez, into a starting spot immediately is pretty heavy stuff. So he's going to work out the bullpen at first and be eased into things. And if you remember right, like that's what Spencer Strider did. And look where we are now. And I don't want to compare that at all, but Strider has some similarities to Shawver and stuff. Like obviously Shawver's fastball is not quite there as far as velo, like, but it's really good. Like we're looking at two easy plus pitches in the fastball slider. And I think his curve's arguably plus two, but Strider obviously one of the best pitchers in the game right now. So I won't even dare make that comparison.
So you didn't want to say it was fishy, but it was fishy. That's what you're saying. It's a little bit, but go ahead.
I was going to say like Gwinnett's so close to Atlanta. So it's like you get the start, you want to see him. Like that was his first home start. So I get them coming over, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know. You're like, I didn't think about it then as much as is it more now making sense? Like they were literally watching to see if they thought he was ready to come up and contribute to the team, which duh, like, but this week, like 4 days, that's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't say I saw this coming. I mean, especially not even like last week, like I just started throwing him in my, you know, top 25 prospects to stash article I do every week over on Roto Baller. And I think I put him in the 25. I think I stuck him in last week, and this week he moved up a few spots. I'd have to look. I think he's probably like around 20th overall. I was like, all right, he's getting closer. Can make an impact in like maybe a month or two. Never thought we'd be seeing him debut, you know, at the end of May here. So, but long term, obviously, you know, the stuff is there to be, you know, an impact arm. Like, this is a guy that I think we both have as a top 10 pitching prospect at this point. I mean, the only guys I have, let's see, in terms of pitching prospect rankings here, and there's a big cluster, so he could definitely move up. So I have him behind Yuri, Tiedemann, Painter, Gavin Williams, Bryce Miller, Taj Bradley, Tanner Bibee, Bobby Miller, and Emmett Sheehan. He's basically neck and neck with Ben Brown. So that's like right at that 10 range. So, and some of those guys aren't too far, you know, ahead of him. So I can see him even taking up to be a top five pitching prospect here. And you think we're looking at, like, I don't know. I hate throwing around the, you know, the ace or front line, but I almost kind of see it with Smith-Shawver. Like, the stuff is so good. I mean, look how advanced he is for a 20-year-old. I mean, long term, I think we're looking at a guy that actually could be a maybe borderline frontline arm.
Possible. And yeah, actually, I talked with his dad a decent bit. His dad started DMing me back when I started posting about AJ last year. And so, like, we chat a good bit. And he told me, he said that AJ has four pitches. So that's certainly a big thing, like, for him to be a sustainable starter. But the org literally shelved his curve and changeup last year to just focus on the fastball slider. But obviously there's dad talk and there's real baseball talk. And his dad told me that the org told him they felt like all four of the pitches were at least plus. And, you know, it's kind of seeing it more now. Like, the curve is coming out. He threw the curve, I think, for the first time in the year in his first double A start. And then he threw it a lot more last week in Triple A. He didn't throw the changeup in Thursday's start, but he has thrown it. Like, I've seen him throw it, and it's solid as well. So, like, if you're talking a plus fastball slider curve with even an average changeup, and some will argue a 70 fastball, 70 slider, and I can see it, that's just a bold grade, then you really have the makings of a starter. And the command's good. Like, he commands it well. Like, his fastball's commanded very well at the top of the zone. He gets 20 inches of IVB, which is induced vertical break. And 20 inches, for reference, is pretty elite. Like, Bryce Miller, Garrett Cole, like, those are some of the best, like, fastballs in, like, IVB for MLBers. And, like, he's right up there. Like, they're, like, 21, maybe 22, like, consistently. And Shawver can get up to 20. Like, that speaks a lot to me. And I like that he's fastball up, slider down, curve down. Like, that's a recipe for success. And you add in the changeup and you hit the other side of the bottom corner, like, when you're getting the arm side run, that's just a deadly mix. So even with three good pitches, he can be a very good starter. But with four, I think there's a chance that he could be something special. Strider's doing it with two. I mean, Strider throws the changeup very sparingly, but we're talking, like, I mean, he's an elite. Like, his Strider's fastball is otherworldly. Slider's extremely good too, so it'll be fun. I'm excited to see where AJ Smith-Shawver goes.
Oh, for sure. And the other aspect of this too, like, obviously we don't know, like, how much he's gonna, you know, how much impact he's gonna have this year, pitching on the bullpen a bit. So that's kind of up in the air. But so looking at it long term, the fact that with all the other big names that you already have, the more established guys, that it's kind of two things I look at here. He doesn't have to come in and be the guy. Like Baltimore, like, they were looking at G-Rod to be the guy. You know, same thing kind of with, you know, almost the same level with Brandon Fott. Like, they're looking for immediate huge impact. With AJ, it's like, he doesn't have to come in and be that huge guy. They already have Strider and Fried and Wright's hurt. But, you know, Charlie Morton, you know, all these, you know, veteran guys. And then he could learn from those guys too. Like, learn from Strider, learn from Fried. You know, so many good pitchers that have been around the block a time or two that he can learn from, I think is only going to help him. So yeah, I'm very excited to see what the rest of this year and the future looks like for AJ Smith-Shawver. The other big prospect promotion to the major leagues, at least over Minnesota, Royce Lewis got recalled basically when he was, I think it was right on the first day he was eligible to come back. And, you know, in short spurts, like last year, 12 games, hit 300, a couple of dingers and four doubles in 12 games. You know, already had two hits and a home run in his first game on Monday. He'll be playing some third base here because it's been a revolving door for Minnesota lately. Like the last four games before he got called up, they started Kyle Farmer, Donovan Solano, and Willie Castro. So kind of makes sense that he slots into that spot. And you know, it's been an up and down, you know, really a roller coaster of a professional career from Maurice Lewis. Obviously, number one overall pick, started out pretty hot, then kind of had a couple years where he was A, hurt, or B, just underperforming. Came back good last year, got hurt again. So it's kind of a hard one to value. But in general, Chris, I'm buying. Like, I'm definitely in on Royce Lewis. Like, I believe in what we saw last year, both in the minors and the majors. Still have hope that this guy's going to be, you know, a top 100 fantasy guy year in, year out. And, you know, maybe a guy that flirts with top 50 status. If everything clicks, he's shown the ability to hit for a solid average. Maybe not like a, you know, 290, 300, but maybe 270 in that range. I think this could be a 25 homer bat that gives you at least double digit steals, maybe even more. See how much he wants to run in the majors. But I think all the ingredients are still there. And if that's over at third base now, that's even going to be even nicer because, you know, third base, a lot of the guys we were hoping for that could, you know, like the Mirandas of the world and Ke'Bryan Hayes, that we were hoping to take that next step and kind of help give some depth at the top of that position, just really haven't done it. So maybe that guy's going to be Lewis, but yeah, I'm definitely buying Royce Lewis right now. I think he's have a very bright career.
Yeah, I think so too. Was it the same knee that, knee both times? Yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
That's why, yeah, I was just looking that up to confirm. I mean, tearing your ACL twice is never ideal, but like you said, at this point, you hope that he's just fully healthy. I mean, we saw Mike Soroka now come back from two Achilles tears, which is, again, so wild. But Royce Lewis is talented. I put him back in my top 100 dynasty rankings, just in the back end for now, because what he was doing in AAA just showed me that he was healthy. He was making great contact in the zone, barreling balls at a very high clip. And I think this is a major impact bat with power, with speed. It's going to give you good average, too. I mean, while we're talking a small sample in AAA of 23 balls in play, he did have a 106.1 90th percentile exit velocity, which is definitely upper tier. I mean, your elites are going to get up to like 109, like Pete Alonso and those guys, but this is still really solid power. Royce is a really good athlete, despite the knee injuries, for sure. So I think that he's going to impact the game in all areas and be a true five category contributor. So I think that he's worthy. I think he could get to top 50, like you said, and it wouldn't surprise me a bit. So I think this is definitely a player to buy in on, and it may be too late, but if you can buy in on him, like I certainly would.
Yeah, it might be too late, but at the same time, I still think it's a good time to buy just in general, because I think the price tag's only going to go up from here. Like, and I think I have him. Where do I have him? I didn't put him top 100, but I have him. I have 122, so not too far out. But yeah, that arrow is definitely, you know, pointing up right now, and could easily see him getting into my top 100 very, very soon here, especially if he hits the ground running. Let's say someone came up and offered you right now, let's say you're a contending team. Someone wants to get Royce Lewis from you, and someone offered you, let's say his teammate, Carlos Correa. Who'd you take right now?
I'd take Royce. I mean, Correa's just a guy, I think. And while solid, he doesn't provide a ton of fantasy counting stats for you, like he should, in my opinion.
Yep. All right. How about another young third baseman that's having a pretty solid year? You got Royce Lewis or Josh Young?
I still have to lean Young right now just because of, I mean, the performance is happening in the majors on the field. We're seeing a major breakout right now from him. And I really believe in the bat, but I think I put Josh Young around 80 overall, so it's not too far off.
Yeah, I have Young 84. Another young third baseman in this range who hasn't really had a great year. Not terrible, but not great either. Would you rather have Royce Lewis or Brett Beatty?
I think I'd rather have Royce. It's not, again, not far off, but just the impact of with his legs, you won't get from Brett Beatty. And so the speed impact on the game is significant.
Yeah. If Beatty ran at all, I think it'd be pretty close. I think the bats in general for Lewis and Beatty are probably pretty close. Like they'll probably hit for similar average, similar power, at least in the same ballpark. But yeah, the speed that Lewis will bring that Beatty probably will not, I think definitely puts Lewis ahead for me as well. Even though I think these guys are all pretty close. But all right, some promotions in the minor leagues. A lot of the big name promotions here. 3 to double A, Junior Caminero, James Wood, and Marcelo Mayer. You know, 2 of these guys are top 10 prospects. I think maybe not, I think Wood is universally top 10. Caminero is, I think, top 10 in some. I don't think I'd say universal quite yet. And Mayer, you know, I think you and I have been a little bit apart on Mayer. I want to see, you know, you've seen him obviously live. I have not yet, but you know, I will soon. Their next home series, I think, is next week. I think, pretty sure. Are you still in the same mindset with Mayer? Kind of like the better real life than fantasy player?
Yeah, but Mayer's bat has made improvements this year, which is significant. I mean, last year there was a lot of concerning aspects of a lot of end zone whiff, like late on a lot of pitches, just swinging through and missing. Yeah. But we've seen a ton of improvements this year. One, he's just being a little more aggressive and it's paying off. We're talking a significant jump in power. We're seeing a significant jump in contact. Like from last year, a zone contact rate of 76% up to 82% this year. Hard hit rate of 27. And that's another thing. Last year, he's like, okay, he's got power. He's got hit. He didn't have either last year. He had a 27% hard hit rate last year and like a 65% overall contact rate. Just wasn't good. But this year, the hard hit rate has jumped with the zone contact. He's 43.5% hard hit. His 90th percentile exit velocity has jumped from 101.6 to 105.9. That's significant too. Those numbers are huge indicators that he's made progress with the bat. Now, Marcelo Mayer's glove is ready for the big leagues. Like I say that and don't say it lightly either. Like his glove is that good. And we've seen that from the first time I've seen him in Greenville. And at this point, you know, I've seen him 25, 30 times probably. And I will say, like, after last year, I really didn't buy the bat that much. I thought it was just kind of average. Wouldn't be a fantasy impact. But this year, I think he's made the tangible strides to tell me that he is capable of producing better than I thought.
So where do you have him now in your rankings, roughly?
I mean, he's top 20. He was top 25 before. I would have to look, like, how high could I put him? Let's see. Let me just look. I can't go top 10 on him just from the other guys up there. Like at this point, do I like him better than Jordan Lawler? Yeah, probably.
It's pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and Lawler's just not been good at all. Like I've got Ronnie Mauricio top 20. Do I like Ronnie Mauricio better than Marcelo Mayer? Maybe. He's probably right in that range of top 20. Like I've got Ronnie, Noel Marte, Adiel Amador, like, he can fit right in there, I think.
Yeah, there's a – in my 13 to kind of 17 range, it's a bunch of middle infielders. Him, McLean, Westberg, and Noelvi. Obviously, Noelvi's going over to third now, but a lot of infielders in that range. Yeah, I think he's right in that range. I think he's top 20. So you look at some of the guys in kind of the next range or guys that kind of are falling off a bit this year or just don't have – as loud of tools or as much of a track record as he does or as high of a floor as he does even. So, yeah, I think that kind of 12 to 20 range is pretty fair for him. And, yeah, I can't go top 10 on him either. Like, my top 6 are pretty cemented now. And then you got, you know, that Churio and then Cowser, I can also, you know, Strand, Yuri, guys like that. So, yeah, I think I can see going as high as 12 or 13. Yeah, I'm not ready to put him top 10 yet, but maybe he's not far off. If he tears up in double A, yeah, I could easily see it. I think there's a super high floor there. You know, good feel for hit. You mentioned the improvements this year as well. So, I mean, I think he's a big guy that just, you know, more of a sum of the parts type of guy. Doesn't have like that one standout offensive tool, but just does everything pretty damn well and has a really, you know, well-rounded offensive line. I think this rig he's going to find his value. And obviously, even this year when expectations were super low for Boston, they still had a pretty good offense. So Boston's always have a good offense and he'll have a good hitter's park to play his home games in, a lot of good hitter's parks in the AL East in general. So yeah, I think Mayer's going to be a pretty damn good player. James Wood, Junior Caminero, both getting the bump to double A as well. We've talked a lot of Junior Caminero lately on the pod, but I don't think we've talked a lot of James Wood, but he was just tearing it up this year in high A. So not really, you know, surprising to see him get the call to double A. I don't think they come double A Harrisburg. I don't think they come anywhere near Portland anytime soon. Maybe they come later in the year, but I was hoping that he'd come like sometime soon, but unfortunately I'll have to wait a little bit to get to my life looks at him. But this year, a little bit of a slow start, but really tearing it up since then. Overall, 292, or excuse me, in high A, it was 293, 392, 580, with 22 extra base hits in 42 games, 8 home runs, 8 steals, showing, you know, pretty good walk rate. Was K-ing a little bit too much, but not incredibly high, and got up to hit double A Harrisburg yesterday for his debut. I mean, this is a no-doubt top 5, you know, prospect, but you got to wonder, like, obviously, the size, what is he, 6'6", 240. You know, always going to worry about the higher K rate with those longer lever guys. You know, same with Spencer Jones. But, you know, he's hasn't really shown any real strikeout issues, no huge swing and miss concerns there. Walks at a pretty good amount. So I'm not too worried about that. And, yeah, I think he's obviously, you know, not much to say. He's going to be a monster. And can't wait to see what he does in double A.
Yeah, I'm sad because they were going to be close by Nashville this week, so I was going to see him. I was planning to go see him this week, but now in double A, so he's good. I mean, like you said, it's a clear-cut top 5 prospect for me. He brings the power. He brings speed for his size, and he's done that consistently. It's not like it's something new for him. It is interesting because his numbers have his, at least, contact rates dropped some this year from last year, but I will put a caveat on that I think it's largely because he's getting pitched around. Last year, Wood ran a zone contact rate of 84.4%, and this year that's dropped to about 76.5%. So pretty substantial drop there with Wood, but he pounds the ball. Like, I mean, his EVs are like up there with like Aaron Judge already. Like, come on, 109, 9th percentile exit velocity. Last year was 109.3, so it's like right in line with that. He doesn't chase that often. Like, he's very disciplined, despite having a big strike zone. Like, that's encouraging to me when you see that. Really, this year, the biggest difference is the dude was just getting pitched around. Like, he wasn't getting any pitches in the zone. Why is that? Because that lineup was terrible in Wilmington. So you can just avoid James Wood, pitch around him, and not give him something to hit. And guess what? He still hit. Also worth noting that that ballpark is terrible to hit in. Like, that's one of the worst ballparks for minor leaguers. I'm going to pull up the exact data from Baseball America, which if you don't sub, Matt Eddy does awesome park factors for minor league. It's very useful because if you're just looking at stats, like, you got to think about the context of what he's facing. It's a very hitter-friendly park. I mean, we're talking about the BABIP context of that park being 109 of 120 from all minor league parks, the total run factor being 66 out of 120, so it's 45th percentile there, and it's 43rd percentile for home run park factor. So most hitters don't excel there, but yet he did. He's one that's the park's just not going to hold any ball that he hits. So yeah, I fully expect Wood to continue his dominance. Like, the nice thing is, I'll say the nice thing, I'm not sure that there's that many more talented hitters in the Nats double A in Harrisburg. So it's not like he'll just get pitched to more often, but he's going to be challenged. And he's going to face good pitching. So we'll see what he's made of.
Yeah, this is the real test. You know, not to say that high A wasn't a test for him, but I think that jump to double A is always a really good test for guys like this, especially in a pitcher-friendly, you know, mostly cold-weather league. I know we're getting into the month of June, so it's not like he has to deal with the Northeast in, you know, April or May, but yeah, I think this would be a good test for him, and I just looked at their schedule, and they don't even come to Portland or New Hampshire at all this season. They're actually starting a series with New Hampshire soon, but it's at home for them, so down in Harrisburg, Virginia, right? No, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Pennsylvania. That's what I think it was, Virginia. I don't know. But still, nowhere's near me. So unfortunately, unless I make a long road trip to Harrisburg or, you know, to to Bowie or something like that, Binghamton, New York. I'm not going to see James Wood this year, fortunately. But, hey, maybe he'll be out in the AFL. We can see him some more this fall. We'll see. We had the other two names we had on the list here that were both kind of broke today. It's kind of, I'm not sure if we call them promotions, but more so like assignments. Like Ethan Salas for San Diego, assigned to low A. Same with Josue De Paula for the Dodgers. So Salas really surprised me, Chris. He's only 16. When does he turn 17? I mean, when's his date of birth?
I think he just turned 17 like a couple days ago. No, that's not true. That was De Paula. Sorry.
Yeah, De Paula just did. I'm trying to find. Of course, he doesn't have like a baseball reference page.
He'll turn 17 tomorrow.
Oh, is it tomorrow? Oh,
yeah. Early as you're listening, it's happy birthday. Yeah.
Look at that. A little birthday present for him. But that's surprising. You don't usually see that very often, to go right to low A without any, time in, rookie ball. So, but hey, the scouting reports on him have been very, very exciting. Like, this is a guy that, people are saying could be like an all-star catcher someday. But again, he's going to be, he's 17 today. He's a catching prospect, so very, very young. So I don't want to jump the gun too much, but the hype is definitely there with him right now.
Yeah, this is one where you have to get in and just ride the wave, because if he just performs like decently, his stock is going to.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Absolutely sore. Like, in the spring, you have people talking about, like, Hall of Famer. Like, that's nuts. He's good. He's very poised behind the plate for a 16-year-old. I mean, he caught Yu Darvish. He caught some other major leaguers in the spring and, like, did it well. He's as polished of a catcher at that age as you'll ever find. And the bat's solid, too. I think the power will come around. Like, I think he could be a potentially 20-home-run bat, and he's got a good feel to hit. So this is what happens with these international guys, especially the ones that were already hyped. It's like if they were hyped coming in and they perform, like I mentioned in my write-up today that Josue De Paula, he's going to be top 25. He's just like an average hitter. And I thought it was going to be at the complex, but in low A now, like if he's just league average, like he's going to soar because there's already so much hype around those names. The cool thing is, like, both these young guys actually grew up here in the States and then went internationally before they signed. So Jeff Ponce is actually telling me that Paula speaks much better English and Spanish, which is funny. Apparently he gets joked around with a lot about that because he's not very fluent in Spanish like you would think, but just a side note there. But they did grow up in the States. Like, these are guys that are very advanced for their age that have been around the game for a long time. And you look at like Ethan Salas, like his brother, obviously Jose, is in the game. His dad's a trainer. Like, his dad's trained a lot of guys. So, like, these guys have been around the game for a long time. So it is crazy to think, like, if Salas debuted today, then he would debut in full season ball at 16. And De Paula is just a couple days older. I think he turned 17 like 6 days ago at this point. I was looking earlier today. Man, the talent on both these guys was astronomical. And I don't think you have anything to lose in Dynasty by picking them up. I think there's only, like, I assume they're not available, but if they happen to be, get them. If you can trade for them, I probably would, because, like I said, it's really just only going to go up from here, I think. If they just perform averagely, they're going to soar.
Yeah, I was looking. De Paula just actually turned 18 a few days ago.
Yeah, that was it.
May 24, 2005. But yeah, both these guys, the Paul, we at least have some, obviously, some film on, obviously, in game action here. Was very, very good in the Dominican Summer League last year. Hit 350 in 54 games, 20 extra base hits, 16 home runs. Yeah, like all the tools are there. Like, the Paul I already have top 100. Salas is getting pretty damn close. Do you have Salas top 100 yet?
Yeah, I moved him up there.
Yeah, he's just outside of it now, but he's in the cluster. There's a lot of fun catchers in this cluster. It's like Kevin Parada is there, Dalton Rushing, Edgar Cuero, him. You know, that there's is there any more? No, it's just, but just those four that are kind of like all like right around top 100 or so. Where do you have him? How high do you have him in your rankings, Chris?
Let's see. Right now, 92.
Okay. Yeah, I have him. Where did I put it? Where exactly was it? 114 exactly for me. So not too far behind. But yeah, that's a fun little tiers. And there's a little bit of a gap up to, you know, guys like Ohapi, Bo Naylor, Soderstrom, obviously Fiskov, Resna, Endy are up, way up there. So yeah, but there's always that Padres hype as well. Even though the system's kind of died down a little bit over the last year, but we saw the hype last year with Jackson Merrill. You know, they still have a pretty good player development organization there. So got to be very excited about him. And obviously DePaulo being in the Dodgers, you know, are arguably the best or one of the, you know, top three or so player development organizations in baseball. So two guys are definitely very fun to watch. See how they adjust to low A, and, you know, if they can continue to show off their, you know, very high upsides there. But definitely two names to get in on now before it's almost too late as it is now.
Yeah.
But you know, if you want them, you say you're gonna have to pay a pretty price right now. But if you want them, the price is probably only gonna go up. So get in now or miss out entirely. All right, let's move on to some players to buy low on. We each have three names here, the guys that are off to, you know, subpar starts right now. A couple, four hitters total, two pitchers. But these are guys that we are looking to buy low on now, guys that we still believe in, starting with Michael Harris III for Chris.
Well, I think we're seeing signs of life from Harris now. And, you know, a lot of people are like just talking about how much he sucked and he was – like, people were asking me if they should drop him in a dynasty league, which obviously not the case here. But Harris has been playing hurt the entire season. You know, he went on the IL the very beginning of April with a lower back injury. And those just don't really just go away. Like, he's dealing with the back. He talked about that. Then he comes back and he jammed his knee. He hyperextended his knee on a slide in the beginning of May. And he was wearing a knee, like he played, he was wearing a knee brace like every day up until about 5 days ago. At this point, he finally took the knee brace off and he was talking about how he finally was feeling better. Like, so he wasn't even feeling close to himself, and he took the knee brace off and it's been steady progress. Like yesterday he hit a new high max EV of 113.9. Harris has always hit the ball hard. Like, he's making good contact. He had a big Oppo home run the other night against Philly. And so looking at it, it's like everything looks good. Like, he's chasing less than he did last year. He's seeing the ball on the ground less than he did last year. He's still hitting the ball hard. Everything that you really want to see from him, there was just not results. So I think that with the injuries, it was just causing something mechanically just to be a little off. And now we're going to see him as he gets healthy, hopefully. As he gets back to 100%, him really take off. I mean, we weren't expecting Harris to go do what he did last year. In 441 plate appearances, he was a 19 homer, 20 stolen base guy, 75 runs, 64 RBI. Like, that's pacing for 30-30 with a 297 average. Like, if you expected that, you would have taken him at the top of every draft. So obviously you weren't expecting him to do that again. But I do think Harris is a legitimate 2020 bat over a full season that can hit 260, 270, and that has its use. That's a very useful player. So I think Harris is, and now's the time to buy before he really takes off. I think with health, you'll see him get back to those levels because it's just who he's always been. Look at his minor league career, and he's always hit the ball very hard. He's always had the speed. He's always hit for average. Yes, there's flaws. I mean, he chases, he hits the ball on the ground, but seeing improvements on those things as a 22-year-old is very encouraging. Remember, Ronald Acuna Jr. hits the ball on the ground a ton, too. Nobody ever mentions that because Acuna is otherworldly. Like, he's elite. But Acuna has a 54.1% ground ball rate right now. Nobody really ever mentions it. So you can make a high ground ball rate work as long as you lift the ball and you hit it hard. So if he lifts the ball enough, yeah, he'll be good. So I do think Harris will rebound. I think Harris is a good buy right now.
Oh, 100% agree. He was dropped. I have two two home leagues on Yahoo, and he was dropped in one of them. And Tim Anderson was also dropped in this league recently, so it's kind of a weird year. But I was able to luckily scoop up Michael Harris as I had number two waiver, and the guy that had number one waiver didn't use it. So again, it's only two leagues I have that are like that. I'm not really a big fan of the rolling waivers anymore. That was what I was used to growing up, but obviously I'm more of a fab guy now. But yeah, Harris absolutely is a buy. It's funny how quickly, you know, it's like the what have you done for me lately? Like this was a 2020 guy basically as a rookie, and then, you know, struggles for a month or so because he was hurt and whatnot. And now he's like, he's trash. It's just funny how the perception is so quick to change on these guys. And same, you can say the same thing about this next guy that I'm going to say, Taylor Ward. I mean, yeah, he's, you know, what, 7 years older, 8 years older than Harris. He's 29. But at the same time, everyone and their mother was in on Taylor Ward this offseason for Dynasty, this spring during drafts. Like I didn't see one article where it was like, oh, the hype's too high or saying that they were out. And, you know, maybe if there was someone out there that was, you know, show me the proof, because I won't believe you unless you show me it. Because, like, everything about Ward was positive. The hype train was getting out of control. I was buying in as well. I wrote at least one article. We talked about him multiple times on this podcast as well, you know, over the last 6 months or so, because he was really good. Like, outside of that one little stretch middle of the season when he was, you know, not 100% healthy, you know, Taylor Ward was very good. You know, look at what he did last year overall. / 281, 360, 473 with 23 home runs and five steals in 135 games. Again, numbers would have been better if it wasn't for the kind of midseason swoon when he was hurt. And this was a guy that was being taken as a top 100 pick, you know, outfield breakout, even though he already did break out. But you saw all those articles being written about him and being discussed on podcasts. But now anybody that rosts them has to deal with a 223, 297, 330 / line, five home runs in 212 plate appearances. But at the same time, like, you look at the metrics, a lot of them are in line with what he did last year. You know, yeah, walk rate and K rate both are, you know, a little bit worse, but still kind of in the, both are metrics in the range where he's been over the last handful of years. K rate 21, 22%, walk rate 8, 9, 10%. So he's still in that range. You know, you're going to have fluctuation year to year. It's bound to happen. Exit velo is 0.1 miles an hour lower than last year. Hard hit rate only 0.6% lower than last year. But the barrel rate has dropped 6.1%. He's hitting more ground balls, fewer line drives. That'll do it right there. So, but that's really the major thing, right? There's no other alarming things in the metrics. There's no other red flags. Zone contact is actually up about 3.5%. Whiff is in line. The chase is up, you know, about 6% as well. But, you know, it's still better than league average. Like, it was 20.6% last year, 26.9% this year. League average is right around 28.5%. So there's not really a lot of metrics where you're like, oh yeah, that's the reason why. I mean, he's being more aggressive this year. His first pitch swing rate's up about 12% and swing rate overall up about 5%. So maybe that has to factor in a little bit to it. He's being more aggressive than he ever has been, but the stuff is still there. All the ingredients are still there for him to be, you know, a very good, you know, or at least a good fantasy player. And yeah, maybe we all went a bit overboard, myself included, on the hype this offseason. But I still see, like I said, I still see the ingredients for a good, you know, maybe a back end top 100 fantasy guy, you know, both rest of this year and long term. And obviously, you know, he'll be hitting behind, you know, Trout, Otani, and everybody. So definitely looking to buy right now on Taylor Ward. I don't think last year was a fluke, so definitely would buy right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that all the metrics supported last year, all the metrics back this year too. And I've talked about Ward, and he's a curious case with, like, what's going on with him. Yeah. But he has hit a home run tonight, so that's good.
There we
go. As we're talking, he's 2-for-1 with a solo home run.
He's 2-for-1?
1-for-2. Okay.
That's pretty good.
I was on his Fangraphs page, and the live stats it has at bats first, it was like 2-1. So I just read it that way.
Dude's so damn good. He's got two hits and one at bat. I gotta love it.
Yep, that was definitely a blunder. We need to cut up all the blunders and just, like, put together a compilation of all the blunders.
That'd be good. Like the bloopers.
Yeah,
bloopers reel that you see, like, a lot of shows do from outtakes and whatnot. Yeah, that'd be funny.
Yeah. So then there's one right there, but yeah, I think Ward's on the up and he'll be fine. So I'm gonna go to the pitching wheel, and we're both gonna take pitchers next. I'm buying Joe Musgrove in Dynasty. Joe Musgrove probably seems ancient to some people. He's 30 years old. He's hit that age where nobody wants him in Dynasty. But I think we forget really how good he was in 2021 and 2022 when he was moved over to the Padres, 180 innings in both seasons, a 3.06 ERA combined between those seasons. So 362 innings of three earned run baseball, 108 whip, 26% strikeout rate, 6.5% walk rate. Like, really good stuff. Like, yeah, the strikeouts aren't going to wow you, but we're talking about a really high floor SP2. Now, all of a sudden, he's come back. You know, he dropped that weight on his foot in the beginning of the year. He missed time. He's come back, and he hasn't pitched well. He has a 5.64 ERA, a 1.45 whip right now. He's just not performing. So Ks are down a little bit. He's at 22.5%, but the swinging strike rate's right in line where it was last year. So I'm not overly worried about that. You kind of look at the entire profile, and it's very similar. He's actually allowing less contact on pitches out of the zone. He's getting similar chase numbers out of the zone. And his CSW is down a hair because he's not getting the called strikes. So he is allowing a bit more contact in the zone, which is a bit concerning. But I will say, like, we're talking a 30-inning sample versus a 362-inning sample of what we saw the last 2 years of Joe Musgrove. I don't believe that he just forgot to pitch after dropping a weight on his foot. And I think that we'll see him bounce back and be fine. He's missed, like, he's missing a little bit on some pitches. Like, he's just command is not there on some of them, which, you know, it's going to come around. Like, I'm not particularly worried about this. He didn't have a spring to really ramp up, and he didn't rehab that long either. So you look, his fastball velo is actually up from last year. The one thing that I don't like is that he's throwing his slider so much less. Last year, his slider usage was 24.4%. This year, 12.8%. I don't like to see that. Slider's a really good pitch at a 36% whiff rate last year. That should be his go-to pitch. He's throwing the curveball a little more, which is fine. Like, the curveball is a good pitch too, but he's still throwing it right in line with what he did last year. So pretty much he is throwing the four-seam more. He's throwing his cutter more and throwing the slider less. I want to see him go back to the slider more. Like, the cutter is whatever. I mean, it doesn't get a lot of whiffs. It's a 214 batting average against, which is good. But I really would like to see him go back to the slider. You can say, look and see, he's allowed three home runs on the slider this year. Just a couple hangers. He'll be fine. That slider's a really good pitch. So, like, I'm buying Joe Musgrove. I think that it's a good time to buy him in Dynasty. Even, like, you may say, like, well, he's only useful if you're a contender. But he's 30. Like, I think that he's going to be useful for plenty of years moving forward. So he, to me, still has plenty of Dynasty value. So I'd get in on him if you can.
Yeah, definitely. Like, he's been so good for so long that, yeah, it's hard to imagine he's just not going to be that guy ever again. So, yeah, I'd absolutely would look to, you know, I echo a lot of what you said. He's definitely a good buy low. I'm going to go a little bit of a younger guy. Doesn't it feel like Musgrove's been around forever? Mm-hmm. When did Musgrove debut? What year was that? Well, he wasn't, like, super young when he debuted, but still, he feels like he's been around forever. He debuted 2016, apparently. So he was 23 when he debuted for Houston. But yeah, he's been around for a bit. But, yeah, this is a guy that had, you know, ERA right around 3 each the last 2 years. That wasn't a fluke whatsoever. So, yeah, definitely good call there. I'll go with Grayson Rodriguez. You know, I know people are very disappointed in this first go-around for him. First 10 starts, 7.35 ERA, you know, 1.72 whip. For a guy that's, you know, was either, you know, in everyone's ranking, either number one or number two pitching prospect in all of baseball. Yeah, very underwhelming. And, you know, a lot of it was just missing his spots. Like, the stuff is there. Like, this is, I still say that this was the best pitching prospect I've ever seen live over the last, you know, handful of years. Saw him back in 2021 in AA. You know, fastball, he was averaging 96.7 on it, but it was just getting hit around. 382 batting average against, 737 slug, 498 wOBA. But still, even with that, like, the overall metrics, they weren't terrible. Excuse me. Joking on my own spit here. They weren't terrible. You know, like, zone contact rate was actually better than league average. 79.2%. League average is at 82%. Chase rate, about 27%. Whiff rate, about 27% as well. You know, both of those are right around league average. Whiff rate a little above it. Chase rate a little below it. You know, he had 4 pitches, so he was missing over 25%. Over 27% of bats on with the whiff rate, 4-seam changeup, slider, and curveball. I think he needs to ditch the cutter. Like, cutter was not a pitch he threw, at least not in my live look back in 2021. Something he's kind of worked in more so recently. I'm not a big fan of it. You know, it does give him another look, and it's different. It's a velocity band that he doesn't have. His fastball is at about 96, 97, changeup 83, 84, slider about 81, curveball about 79. So it does add another kind of wrinkle to the arsenal, but it just hasn't been good. He has not located it well at all. And that's really been the issue just in general. Like location, you know, fastball shape isn't the greatest right now. You know, always you look at the heat maps on all of his pitches. Changeup, he's leaving high. That's never a good thing for the most part, at least not consistently anyway. Slider's kind of all over the place. Same with the cutter. And curveball's been just been hanging over the heart of the plate too much. He only throws it 7% of the time. But I think it's just, you know, it's not like a major issue. It's a, you know, he's got to, you know, fine-tune some things, get back to locating like he did in 2021. And maybe he's still trying to, get, you know, get that feel back from having the injury last year. Who knows? It's hard to say, but he was getting hit way too hard overall, 53% hard hit rate, you know, walking more than he had in the minor leagues, but still not terrible, 10%, excuse me. So like, he still had a 16.5% K minus walk. So that's not terrible. So he wasn't quite as bad as the 735 ERA would indicate, but again, obviously wasn't great as well. But I think he's going to he'll get back to, you know, by locating his stuff in AAA, hopefully come back up another, you know, probably in July or something. I don't think he's back up soon, but I think take this opportunity while this, you know, he has that 735 ERA. Well, he's kind of that sour taste in your mouth. If you've rostered him, try to go in and sneak in that buy low offer, because like I'm still as high right now on him as I was 2 months ago before he debuted. So I still think he's a long-term guy that could be a frontline guy, could be a top 15 fantasy arm. That upside is still there. I'm still believing in it. And right now, his value might be the lowest it'll ever be moving forward. And this is the ideal time to swoop in and get that offer in. So I would go out and try to get Jason Rodriguez right now.
Yeah, I think so. There's the org tweaked with a couple things, and it really didn't pay off. So I think he's got to get back to his original arm slot when he was so successful, because the stuff really ticked down, like the changeup, the slider, like all those things kind of took a step back. His stuff just hasn't been there. So I do think that he'll get back to who he was. I think it is a good time to buy Grayson Rodriguez. I'm going to a well that I didn't think I would go to, and that is Spencer Torkelson. So Torkelson is improving actually more than I thought. Like, you look at his last month and he's been much better. He's always hit the ball hard. He's always put up decent OBPs. Like, the production just hasn't been there. But in May, he's hitting 255 with a 358 OBP, which, yeah, that's fine. He's only striking out 21% of the time, walking 12% of the time with two home runs. So he's not great. But look at the underlying data on Torkelson, and it's much more impressive. I mean, his average exit velocity of 91.6 miles an hour puts him in the 81st percentile among all hitters. He's hitting the ball hard. That's a good sign. He's a 49.3% hard hit rate. That is up from 41.8% last year. Spencer Torkelson's hitting the ball on a pretty good line consistently. 15-degree launch angle is pretty ideal. And a 10.1% barrel rate. Like, that's substantial. But he just hasn't got the results. I think he's underperformed significantly. I don't love X stats by any means, but when you look at the XBA, you look at the X slug, you look at X WOBA, he is way, way, way underperforming. Like I said, I don't love those stats, but it is worth noting. 230 batting average, 268 XBA. He's got a 356 slug, but a 440 expected slug. That's pretty substantial. He's got a X WOBA con. So on contact, he's obviously showing off 392. So I think Torkelson's on his way to being solid. Now, it is worth noting that there's a pretty high threshold to be a successful fantasy first baseman. Power, average, like he hasn't really had any of it. So that's a concerning aspect for sure. But I do think that Torkelson will be useful. I think that he could get to be a serviceable batting average with above average game power. So yeah, maybe he hits 260, but maybe he hits 20 to 25 home runs. So there's some use here in this profile. The OBP especially ticking up is pretty substantial for me. So I think his value's tanked enough where you can buy in and everything looks pretty good. He's not chasing a ton. He's making decent contact, like good barrel rate. It's everything you kind of want to see. So yeah, I'm on board with buying Torkelson. I did not think I would say that because I wasn't super in on him, but at some point the price gets low enough where you do buy low.
Yeah, it's all about the price. And yeah, I definitely think that the, you know, the long-term projections for him have definitely dropped. I mean, they kind of have to, but he's never had like terrible metrics. Like he's always shown, you know, some sort of bright spot here or there and within the metrics that always keep you intrigued a little bit. And that's still the case. So yeah, I'm definitely not out on Torque. I should just put a poll up. So I want to see Torkelson or this next guy who I'm going to say, Tristan Casas is my last guy. Both struggling young first baseman, which when people are higher on moving forward, it'll be fun to see. But do you think, Chris, like we've done over 200 episodes now, I'd be willing to bet that if you went back and tallied up like how many times we've talked about each player, Torque might be like top five.
That's because possible.
Our first episode was about that FYPD class, that 2020 FYPD class. Obviously, as you know, a top prospect for a couple of years and you know, the ups and downs of him in the majors. He's probably one of our top five most talked about players on this podcast. I have a feeling. But yeah, I'm going to go with Tristan Casas to round out the show. Another guy, it's been very underwhelming, and I thought this would be the breakout year for Casas. It's kind of similar to what he did last year, where he was showing some good quality of contact metrics, walking at a high rate, but just can't get that average above the Mendoza line. It was, what was it last year? 197. This year it's 200. So right around there, but still showing a lot of you know good things in the metrics here. 15% walk rate. K rate has ticked up to 28.1%. But I almost wonder if that's more so him just being overly passive as opposed to swinging and missing too much. Because, you know, the whiff rate and chase rate is very good, 22.8%. That's better than league average by a healthy margin by about, you know, 5.5% or so. The whiff rate is 29.8%, but that's not terrible. You know, last year was 26.3%. And I just wonder if it's him being a little too passive. You know, zone contact rates have been kind of in that 77 to 79% range, which is below league average, but not terribly below. So it doesn't feel like he's been a 200 hitter. You know, as someone that watches him almost every night with the Red Sox, obviously the power's still there, 13.7% barrel rate, 42% hard hit rate, XFV low 91.3. Even the X-Slug's 434, which is much higher than his actual slug of 371. You know, he's not hitting, you know, he's trimmed the ground ball rate. That was a thing with him over the last couple of years, even in the minor leagues, hitting a lot more fly balls now. A lot more line drives. So everything's still there for him to be an impact bat, I believe. So I think it's far too soon to write off a guy like this. You know, I saw him come through Portland, saw him probably 20 times here. And while the numbers weren't gaudy, like that, he looked like a major league hitter that was going to be, you know, middle of the lineup impact bat. So while the, you know, stats haven't looked pretty so far, I'm still definitely a believer and kind of similar to a lot of these other guys like G-Rod and other guys we talked about, this might be the lowest his value ever is. I think he's going to get it going here in the near future. So I definitely would look to buy low on Tristan Casas. But all right, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms for more from work from each of us, including all of our rankings. And join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.